You're listening to another episode of
Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott.
All right, Total Talk Nonsense with John Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And we got special guest, Special Dan, our cousin Dan.
Special Dan.
Welcome to the show. Thanks.
It's cousin Dan. Cousin Dan joined us on episode 111. Is that right?
That's correct.
And he's back for episode 113.
Nice.
And, you know, our audience got to know Cousin Dan through some questions, a question and answer session. One of the things that generated the most email, probably in TTN history, was Cousin Dan stated that he would have sex with a dead person.
What?
We got a lot of email about that. I even had a conversation with a listener.
What?
They could not believe that Cousin Dan would have sex with a dead person. Even though he told us he would only stick the tip in, and it had to be Cindy Crawford. I mean, there were conditions around.
I think freshly dead, too.
Freshly dead.
Freshly. No, oh my God.
He would only stick the tip in, and it had to be Cindy Crawford. But people were still kind of...
They were taken aback.
Yes, their feathers were ruffled by that.
That's out of sight. Even if she's dead, man. Just stick the tip in.
She's the one.
That's out of sight.
So it was for our audience to get to know you a little bit more. I have another question prepared. Are you ready?
Yeah, most definitely.
All right. Do you believe in any or all of the following? UFOs.
No.
Psychics.
No.
The Bermuda Triangle.
No.
Astral projections.
No.
Mental telepathy. ESP.
No.
Clairvoyance.
No.
Spirit photography.
No.
Telekinetic movement.
No.
Full trance mediums.
No.
Ghosts.
Am I getting interviewed for Ghostbusters? No, no.
Or the Loch Ness Monster.
Wow.
No.
No. Not unless there's a paycheck in it, right?
Or if it's freshly dead.
So you would you consider yourself a skeptic or a cynic?
Just a non-believer, I guess, for that kind of stuff. That's nothing I think that would ever happen.
It's a bunch of shit.
Ghosts, or I've never seen any of that kind of stuff.
In other words.
That's correct.
All right, now, Cousin Dan, you are living with John from TTN.
Yep.
Your condo is being finished?
I closed on Friday, finally.
You closed on Friday.
Closed on Friday.
So what does that mean?
I'm living here for 4 more months. And then,
You rent it out?
Exactly. No, I am moving in on Wednesday. Movers are coming Wednesday, and I will be moving over at that time.
So when's the party?
Party is when I get a bigger place.
I see.
2 bed, small bathroom. The next house after this, huge party. Till then, 4 people max.
Wow. We should do a podcast from his condo.
All right.
Done.
You got a nice view of anything?
The alley and...
That could...
And there's a street.
I remember when I worked Toshiba. I used to work for Toshiba. One of the guys that worked there brought in a video that he shot of his back alley. And it was of two black hookers, well, African-American hookers, having sex with two Latino fellas. Standing up. And the one guy was too small.
Well, it's in an alley. Can you imagine any other way to have sex?
The one guy, apparently, he was a little stubby. He was too short.
His body or his appendage?
His schwanz. So he couldn't fire it in from behind. So he had to lay on the cement alley floor.
And you gathered all this from watching a videotape?
In the winter. Yeah.
Well, that's why. Probably was too short. It's the wintertime.
Yeah. He had shrinkage. Anyway, that was just... I wanted to...
That's your alley story?
My alley story, yeah. Right, so we might pick up on that while we're there.
What
you know?
A great segue into, you know, Christmas. What a great story.
Right.
Because Christmas is right around the corner there, John.
No doubt.
Y'all finished with shopping and holiday preparations?
Oh, hell no. I don't think we're done decorating still.
Really? We're already talking about taking stuff down before Christmas.
I wish. It's so painful, this whole holiday experience.
You guys having Christmas over here?
Yeah.
Who are you inviting? Is Cousin Dan invited back?
Oh, yeah.
After he moves
He'll
out?
He'll probably be here still.
Yeah.
Cousin Dan will still be here.
Well, that's wonderful.
He's not leaving.
You love it, man.
I love it. The kids love Cousin Dan. Especially because they blame him, like, for everything. Like, at dinner tonight, Cousin Dan chimed in about something. And it was in direct conflict to what my wife was saying. And my daughter gestured to Cousin Dan, like, well, he said it was okay. He's the authority. Attorney Cousin Dan.
Right.
The law offices of Dan. That's correct.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
Oh, so John, it is episode 113, but
yeah.
Episode 112, was that like last month?
Yeah.
How many did we miss? We missed two?
Yeah.
And we almost missed a third. Actually, we're recording this on a Monday night. We usually do it on a Sunday. But for three Sundays in a row. The first Sunday I was in Vegas, the second Sunday...
Well, both Sundays I had wakes to go to. The first one was Marty, who was here.
Marty died?
No, his dad did.
Mm.
And he was here with Phil, remember?
I remember. I remember that.
Did like a catheter reunion gig, kind of.
Right, the closest thing you're going to get to a catheter reunion happened here, right here.
Right here, ladies and gentlemen. And then... the following week, a friend of mine and friend of my wife's family died also, and we had to go to that wake, which was also on a Sunday. He listened to our show a couple times. He said we're completely crazy, insane, out of our minds.
Okay.
He was a hardcore Republican.
All right,
big,
I can see where
big
he...
Bush fan, and then all of a sudden he just the last 4 years he had enough of that fuck up. But my wife had got him this. I don't know if you've seen them, but they have these new Hillary Clinton nutcrackers.
I have not.
It looks like a Hillary Clinton Barbie doll, and it's got like the nutcrackers between her legs for cracking walnuts.
Yeah.
And that was going to be a gift for him. But unfortunately, he didn't make it.
I see. Are you going to re-gift then?
I don't know what's going on with that thing. I don't know if she's sending it to her dad or what. But yeah, you might end up getting it.
Oh, all right. Cool. I eat a lot of nuts.
Yeah, you do. I heard them. I heard.
Stop talking about your nuts.
Mr. Boink.
Mr. Boink. Tired about hearing about your nuts.
All right, so John, I went to Vegas, baby. Vegas.
No doubt.
And I was there for business. Went with a colleague. And we attended these sessions during the day. And then at night, we would go eat or do whatever. The last night we were there, I got us Penn and Teller tickets over at the Rio.
Nice.
But before I get to Penn and Teller, a couple things about Vegas. Have you been to Vegas lately?
Oh, yeah.
I haven't been there in 10 years, but it's gotten tackier than it used to be. I mean, what happened?
It's, I don't know. They're trying to make it family fun.
Oh, no. I think, well, they tried to do that. I think they're phasing out the family stuff now. What really stood out to me was these massive hotels with a huge advertisement on the entire side of the hotel. Like the Rio had a big advertisement for Jack Daniels, and this thing covered half of the hotel.
Whoa.
Somebody's cell phone gonna ring?
Not mine. I don't have one.
Mine's off.
Yeah, I got the hotline for work this week.
So. Somebody. How about yours?
And then it's just seems more crowded because it's so built up now.
Yeah.
And you can't even walk around anymore.
It's like nonstop people all over the place.
So we stayed at Caesars, and I just pretty much stayed in the hotel the whole time. Because you could do whatever you want in Caesars. You can eat, you can shop, you can gamble. It's all right there.
It's all right there.
We just had to leave, go over to the Rio for the conference and for Penn and Teller.
Oh, yeah?
So we go over there. It's show starts at 8:30. We walk in. I got third row seats.
Nice.
We're third row, kind of off the center aisle. And when we walked in and gave our tickets, the guy barcoded the tickets, tore them, and he gave them to
us.
And I noticed there was an older woman behind us by herself. And she went to show this guy a ticket, but the stub had already been taken off. I'm like, well, that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
And then the guy says to her, ha, I was wondering when you were going to get here. Go on in. So I didn't think anything of it. So we get in there. The first thing they want you to do is go up on stage and sign this poster board.
Yeah.
With an envelope on it. So while you're waiting in line to sign this thing, you look over and there's Penn playing bass and Mike Jones playing guitar.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're like 5 feet away. So we signed this thing, we sat down, and so they start their show. Great show. Loved the show. There's one part in the show I didn't get, but everything I thought was really great.
You didn't get the trick or what?
I didn't get what they were doing. I just didn't get it. So anyway, during their show, they call audience members to come up on stage.
Yeah.
Now, the woman, remember the woman behind me?
Right, right.
Yeah, she was like the second woman that they called up on stage.
Yeah.
And we had the third row, and we sat right behind one of these guys who's security, who helps people on and off the stage.
Right.
His name was Scotty.
Scotty.
We're sitting right behind him. So they call this woman up, and I lean over to the colleague I was with, and I say, hey, that's a plant. That's a woman that but was behind us, that they just kind of waved in, and she's by herself. And the bodyguard or bouncer or whatever, security, heard me, he overheard me.
Punches you in the face.
He pretty much wanted to punch me in the face.
Really?
He turned around. He was so goddamn upset. He's like, Penn and Teller do not use plants. They never use plants. Don't ever say that.
Whoa.
So he turned back around and I said, yeah, it's a plant.
Nice.
I think the first two people they call up are plants, because the second woman they called up, I followed her after the show, and she was by herself, older woman, and she just kind of meanders around for 20 minutes.
She picked your pocket.
I lost track of her. But that was another plant. But I think they do legitimately call people out of the audience. And I don't know if the security guy phoned in or did some sort of communication.
Yeah, we've been found out.
With Penn, because in the one trick that I didn't get it at all. They used like the video. They used a green screen to show you how they can do magic on TV.
Yeah.
And I really didn't get that whole bit. But at one point, they had to ask an audience member to pick a card out of the three cards that they had. And Penn said, the gentleman with the glasses sitting behind security. So he called on me to pick the card.
Oh, nice.
So I'm wondering if security talked to him or communicated with him and said, yeah, we got a guy who's skeptical. He thinks you have plants. You better call him, and then maybe he won't think that, you know, there's a plant.
Right.
But you don't fool me.
No, there's no fooling a Scott from
right
TTN.
On. That's right on, John.
That's right.
So the other, great show. I recommend it. I think it was $90 or something. Well worth it. It seems to me they change up the show, because I heard a lot about their show. Some of the things that I heard about were there, and some new things were there. It's very current events. They include a lot of current events in their monologue. Actually, Penn, because Teller doesn't talk.
Yeah. you sure?
But get this, we're sitting next to this guy, and the reason I started a conversation, the guy's sitting in my seat when we get into the theater.
Yeah.
So I had to, you know, say, hey, dude, man, you're in my seat. And he tries to show me his ticket and show me that it's his seat. And I'm like, okay, this is A, B, C, you see. So C, you're sitting over there.
Stupid
so
ass.
I didn't want to be, you know, rude or anything. I tried to be as polite as I could.
Ah, right.
So we started up a conversation with this guy, and this guy was pretty fascinating. There's a website I'm going to recommend that you check out. It's called thatoneguy.com. That, the number one, guy.com. And this guy, talking to him, so what's going on? What do you do? He travels the country playing an instrument that he invented, which most closely resembles a stand-up bass.
He's that guy.
That one guy.
He's that one guy, man.
That one guy. So we had a conversation with him. So now here's the really interesting part. We stuck around after the show. Everybody cleared out. I kept my eye on that woman, you know.
Yeah.
That second plant.
And plant number two.
We got ourselves backstage to meet
nice.
A pen and a teller. And we dragged that one guy with us.
No doubt, man.
And I brought something for you, John. And I'm gonna ask you to mute Dan's mic.
All right.
And he's going to bring it over to you. This is an early Christmas gift.
He's muted.
For you, John. This is an early Christmas gift that I brought for you. Now, what happened is we, when the seats that we got, they came along with these programs.
Oh, man.
So we had them sign the programs, and I actually spoke to Teller. Teller spoke to me, John.
Oh, man.
I thought he didn't talk. He talks. I said, that was a great show. And you know what he said? Thank you.
Dude, man, I'm like misty-eyed right now. I'm not kidding. This has got to be one of the coolest things I've ever gotten.
That's totally cool.
And you know how big a fan I am of these... of this huge asshole.
Well, you know, I'm going back out there. I'm going back out there in May, and it's through work, but I may need to bring additional resources, if you know what I'm saying, John.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you what week in May, and I may need somebody with your talent and gifts.
Yeah, we got to get...
to come with me.
We got to get Penn on the show.
Now, the one clip I forgot to bring in was me on the Penn podcast when I called in and talked to Richard Dawkins.
That's smarmy question.
But he seemed to recognize me. It was kind of weird. You know, I don't believe in any of that stuff, but he seemed to
recognize you.
Penn, he seemed to know exactly who I was.
That's weird because he has face blindness.
What is that?
Guess you didn't know that.
I didn't.
It means he can't recognize faces.
Oh.
he talked about it on his show.
Well, he wouldn't know who I was by looking at my face, but maybe there's like some aura of stupidity about me or something that he looked at and he smirked at, you know?
Ah,
you must be that guy.
And if he can't recognize faces,
must be that one guy.
How could he call me out from the third row? And he was pretty much on the other side of the stage, so it was a good 30, 50 feet maybe.
Dude, the guy is a master at deception.
Yes, so, that he is.
You know, who knows? I mean, look at the size of your head, for one.
I do have a big head.
How could you not?
And it was cleanly shaven, because when I do go on business trips, I like to cleanly shave my head. That way I don't have to worry about any type of maintenance. Hair maintenance. You know what I'm saying?
Man, I'm holding this thing, man. I can't put it down. I can't read his name, though.
So I highly recommend the Penn & Teller show and check out that one
guy.
How do
I know that you didn't just, like, scribble all over?
I have a witness I can bring in.
Certificate of authenticity.
Oh, Penn actually had, like, a thing that you would wear if you had carpal tunnels after the show.
Ah.
On one of his wrists.
That bowler glove thing?
Yeah, yeah. I didn't ask him about that, though.
The Greg Norman secret?
ThatOneGuy.com. He may be coming to a town near you. He just left the Midwest area. He's headed up to Canada.
Nice.
But he has a MySpace page or some website, and maybe a MySpace. Well, I just said his website. And he has a schedule on there. He also has some videos you could check out. The kind of shit that he does.
You know, Special Ed said he went and saw Penn & Teller and said he hated it. He said they sucked.
Really? When did he see him?
I don't know. It was a couple years ago. But he said they sucked.
I was totally into it from the very first thing that they did. until the end. And there was just that one thing that I really didn't get what they were trying to
pull off.
Yeah.
Pull off.
I didn't get it.
So was it funny?
It was funny.
Was it gross?
No, it wasn't gross. It was great. I thought it was great. The very first thing they do is with cups and balls. Cups and balls.
Cups.
They have three cups on stage, and they each walk around these cups, and they lift them up, and there's two balls. There's no balls. It's all this sleight of hand. And you're like, "How? What the fuck is going on?" And then they actually show you. They come out and do it again with see-through cups.
Yeah.
So you actually see what's going on.
Ah,
and it's,
yeah.
It's so well choreographed, and you get an understanding that magic, really all magic is practice over and over and over.
Deception.
And over. Practice, sleight of hand, and deception. Right. And getting you to think about or look somewhere else while, you know, the sleight of hand
right.
occurs. But I thought it was great. They brought one woman on stage who I'm kind of on the fence if she was a plan or not, because she wore this dress that I have never seen in my entire life. So that makes me think she was a plant. But they did this thing with knife throwing with her.
Yeah.
That I thought was just great. It was unbelievable.
They throw knives at her?
Actually, yeah. And then they get her to throw knives at Penn.
Oh.
Blindfolded.
Wow. I like that.
Yeah.
It's I'd great. Like to throw a knife at that ass. Literally his ass. Yeah,
so,
he frustrates me.
I'm going to go in May. I'm going to go again, and I know what these plants look like.
Nice.
And I'm assuming that, you know, a plant works maybe Monday, Wednesday, Friday, you know, and then they have another one for Tuesday and Thursday.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Have you ever seen the clip of Penn on the Colbert show?
No.
On the, what's it called?
Colbert Report.
He acts like a complete a-hole. Like, he takes Colbert's questions and throws them.
Yeah.
Now try and ask me a question. And Colbert, you can see he's starting to get a little pissed off. And he just keeps messing with him because, in his opinion, he thinks that the joke that Colbert's trying to pull off is a bunch of crap, that the audience doesn't get it. And, you know, I would have responded that, well, what do you think that piece of shit movie that you came out with, The Aristocrats? I mean, that was no funnier. Did you think that was funny?
I thought one of the funniest things I've ever seen was the mime who acts out The Aristocrats.
Oh.
That was well worth the DVD rental right there.
Oh, I bought it.
Oh, you bought it?
Yeah. Because I love Penn Jillette, man. I mean, I want to, you know, give him all the money I can.
Right on.
Because I think his wisdom is important to the world as we know it.
Why
Even though I disagree with a lot of his shit.
Well, you can't disagree with his stance on the exchange of ideas.
No, not at all.
And I strive to be more like a Penn Jillette, where he pretty much seems like he has no bias whatsoever.
Right.
So stupid people can exchange their ideas and he'll listen.
Yeah.
He'll it's really hard for me to do that.
He'll throw his keys to anybody.
Yeah. I could never do that.
No.
No.
Yeah, I would.
He did qualify it, though. He said he gets to pick the person who gets the keys.
Well, and I think his experience in the industry that he's in, he has great observational skills, and he'd be able to do that.
Or make him disappear. Look over here.
All right, John. Moving on. You see any movies? Worth mentioning?
No.
My wife turned me on to a movie from 1957. It's black and white. I'm going to pose this as a little trivia question for you boys. This movie, 1957, black and white. John, don't be looking shit up on the internet.
I'm not. I just cracked my neck.
The majority of the movie takes place in one room, and it stars not one woman. It's all men.
All men.
Name great that, movie. Name that movie.
Waiting for Godot?
No.
Damn.
It's all in one room.
Henry Fonda is in it. Jack Klugman.
All the President's Men?
The majority of it takes place in one room.
All the President's Men?
The jury one, right? The 12... the 12...
Men?
God.
Angry Men.
12 Angry
12
Men.
Angry
That's
Men.
The one. That's the one.
I was trying to give them some... what do they call that? Charades?
Yeah.
I was making an angry face.
Arr.
But he didn't.
Arr, Jim Ladd.
I thought he had a bad burrito.
The 12 Angry Pirates.
wow, what a great movie. And the thing that I'm so fascinated about is it all takes place in one room. I love that kind of movie because that's the kind of movie that
dialogue.
You and I can do, John.
Yeah.
We can script it. We can film it. We can edit it. We can have total control.
Is there any gratuitous sex?
None.
12 Angry Men?
It's just dialogue.
Oh,
talking
right.
about a murder case. And it's fascinating how Henry Fonda... expresses his idea and exchanges ideas and gets people to change their mind. And it's also good and bad when you think about our justice system and the way it's set up. It all depends on the 12 stooges they have deciding your fate, which for O.J. Simpson is great news.
Stooges.
But for you and I, if we ever...
Yeah, we're toast.
We're toast.
We're getting it in the ass. For sure.
Also, my wife got all the Bournes, John, all the Bournes.
Oh, yeah.
So we watched all of those. And I on DVD, I don't know if the guy who made the movies heard us and how irritated we were with the shaky camera.
I just bought it. I got the last one. I'm holding it in my hand right here.
It didn't bother me. The third one didn't bother me as much as it did in the movie theater. So I'm wondering if it's the movie theater experience. Or did they do some post-production? Huh?
It's the size of the screen compared to your position looking at it. You know, the, what do you call that? Orientation or...
Have you seen that movie, Cousin Dan?
Not the last one. I've been waiting to watch that one. John's got it in his hand, not in the DVD player.
Well,
so.
I saw it. You saw it in the theater, too, didn't you, John?
Yeah, and that's why it grates on you, that shaking.
Oh, jeez.
The screen is so big, so it takes up your peripheral vision.
Peripheral.
And when it's shaking like that, and when it's over the shoulder, you're like, oh, I'm going to throw up. Yeah, that's what I was like.
Yeah,
I
was nauseous.
Yeah, my father saw it, hated it, hated that. Oh, shakes all the time. No good.
Oh, he commented about the shakiness. Well, watch it on DVD, and I had to consciously ask myself to... watch for the shakiness, and specifically the scene where he goes and he has to tell the brother of his girlfriend,
right?
What happened to her. And in the movie theater, I remember that just drove me insane. But on the DVD, you can hardly even tell.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if they did something, you know, because I'm sure there was a lot of criticism about that after the movie came out.
Can
I wonder
you unshake a movie?
I would think so.
Oh. Right.
Why couldn't you?
I don't know. We went to the moon, right?
Right.
Not according to Joe...
Rogan. Yeah, so...
It's out of sight.
I'm excited for Cousin Dan seeing the third one. It's going to be exciting. Are you going to watch it with him?
It's interesting.
We're going to hold hands.
Yeah.
And share some popcorn.
I'm so excited for Cousin Dan.
One last thing. One last thing before we get into emails, John. Is I am a genius, and it has been documented.
Okay,
but I can't find it.
You can't find
it. No, I can't find
it. Find your genius.
And now you may remember our discussions on this podcast. So it's somewhere out there in digital audio format.
Digital audio land.
We've talked a lot about Barry Bonds and steroids and baseball.
Yeah,
and at one time. This may have been a year ago. It may have been a year and a half ago. I don't know. I went on record, John, to say that I think Roger Clemens is doing steroids.
Oh, yeah.
And I cannot find that audio clip anywhere. But, hey, the report comes out, and guess what?
Yeah.
Sure enough.
Yeah. He's such a... Oh, my God. Like, you look at the guy, and look at his neck.
Okay.
I mean, he's like a Rottweiler in his head.
He wasn't that way before he was 30.
No.
or 33, he wasn't that way.
And the guy's testifying that he poked him in the ass like three or four times with a needle. And, oh, no, that never happened. No, no. Yeah, okay, whatever. All of a sudden, your focus is back. You're throwing more strikes than ever before, and you're like 47 years old.
Right.
And you have very small nuts.
I'm tired of hearing about your nuts.
Your nuts.
All right. Yeah, no doubt, man.
Moving on to email, John. Now, we did talk about our
equal stinky.
Our 2 weeks of no podcasting.
Yeah.
We just could not get the schedule in. And there were other opportunities. You know, Sunday's not the only night of the week, but we just couldn't get it together.
Right.
So we got some email about that. But here's the thing. I pull out the ones that I guess are the most obnoxious. Would that be the right word? Let me read the email. And we've got a lot of emails about it. Some actually concerned about our well-being. But here's the email that I pull to read. Okay, you ready? What the fuck, man? Hi, you fucktards. It's Frank from Cape Town, South Africa. Have you asshole cock-sucking fucks given up on your listeners? Or are you just plain fucking lazy? What's your fucking point? Please post the next motherfucking podcast already. I really enjoy the show and cannot wait for the next episode. Tet salute, Frank.
Tet salute.
Tet.
Tet.
Tet. Tet anus. So what is it about me that of all the emails we received about that, I pull Frank's email to read?
I don't know.
Maybe I like saying profanity. It gives me an excuse to say profane things.
Fuck the shit.
Fuck the shit.
Got this one from Way of the Bob. All is well. Haven't been in touch for a few weeks. I had some problem with his email. I'm paraphrasing, of course. Anyway, because of the troubles with his email, I had. Okay, I should have pre-read this. I had to change my forum account email address, but unfortunately, I think I now need to wait for clearance from a forum admin until I can access it again. It's been a couple of weeks and nothing has happened.
Wow.
Can you help? Cheers and take care. So, John, we have this forum. We turned over admin to Spenny. Spenny took the forum down for 2 weeks.
Didn't do anything with it.
Nothing happened. And now it appears that one of our longest listeners, longtime listener, Way to Bob, can't get back on the forum.
Oh.
I don't know. I'll have to email Spenny and try to get some admin rights back.
Maybe she tricked you into getting the admin rights to sabotage our forum.
Sabotage.
Sabotage.
Well, and she does it in such a non-offensive way, too. You know, right. Like if it was blatant sabotage, we would have just replaced it already. But it's kind of... that could be. I don't know. Possibly. Possibly. Oh, also, he says, FYI, I'm a 5X, because we talked Way of the Bob won Redneck Recital.
Oh, right.
I'll be sending something to Way of the Bob. He's a 5X.
Oh, he likes his shirts to blouse.
To blouse, yes.
When he tucks them in.
Oh, and speaking of that, I mean to get around to that as soon as I
What's
can.
What's that?
Sending out those wonderful prizes. Because we can't do Redneck Recital until I send those in the
Some
email.
Prizes.
Or I'll fall even farther behind.
I
do have all the prizes. I do have all the addresses. Now it's just me sticking it in an envelope and putting an address on it.
Ah.
That's it. And taking it to the post office. So phase one and two are over. Phase three and four coming up.
Nice.
Coming up. Right on.
Dude, I lost my mail and comments mailbag music.
You did?
I don't know where it is. I suck. What's wrong with me?
Hello? I don't know.
Hello?
I don't know.
Do it a cappella.
Why do you have comments?
Yeah.
Well, go ahead. How many? We got a lot, right?
Like two.
Two of them. Out of sight.
Two, fucking comments. Of course, the reliable Paulie B says, greetings from Punky Radio. Keep up the good work. Paulie B. X. And this one says, Adam Sandler sucks balls, but you guys rock my fucking socks off. That's from Jason from the Nobodies. And this guy here, I don't understand this one, but it's this is from Johnny Ghoul on MySpace. He says, thanks for the ad. I love your podcast. It's better than anything on the radio. And John, you need to punch that Chuck bloke. What is he talking about?
I don't know. Maybe it's when you lost the bet.
Yeah,
for Chipotle.
Oh, I bet the bet.
That I still haven't been paid
for.
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Just Tony Hearn loves you so much.
Speaking.
But here's another one that I don't get.
All right.
This one from, who is it from?
Spit it out, man. Come on.
Anyways, it says, Rocket Surgeons and Happy Phil. TTN 112 was great. What's the deal with belligerent Scott? Funny, but odd. Also, am I the only one who that Satan popped in John's body for a second? Wait a minute. Also, am I the only one who that Satan popped in John's body for a second?
Maybe he missed the word noticed.
Noticed. Ah. I didn't know our unacknowledged producer of the year had access to voice-altering effects. Lastly, Scott can sing like a motherfucker.
Fucking A, man.
What were you singing on 112?
I think at the very end
remember.
We played...
Oh, right, right.
Something. Right. Rancid?
Yeah.
And Phil. Phil sang on there, but I think he cut it off before
right.
he got to Phil's
right.
part.
Sorry.
That's all right.
Didn't mean to do that.
Was I being belligerent? Yeah, what is he talking about?
I don't know. That's what I was
it's
asking you.
Oh, you know what? I ran into somebody else, Mr. Schmuel.
Nah.
And Mr. Schmuel said, hey, what was up with you in 112?
What was up with that?
And I don't know if he used the word belligerent, but it was the same kind of deal. Why were you so fucked up towards John? Yeah, like you know everything. So I think it was about the discussion we had about parallel universe quantum mechanics
right.
and things like that.
Right.
And so there's a couple people that think that I was
right.
belligerent.
I think they're understanding that the shout down doesn't mean you're right.
I wasn't shouting.
Yeah,
I never
you were.
Shout.
You shout. We're discussing exactly how you have this ability to Machiavellian.
No, it's not.
Convince people that you're right.
It's not because I shout. It's because I'm tremendously good looking. I'm very articulate.
You're like an ass with glasses. I don't know what you're saying.
As a physical specimen, I'm intimidating. So all these things combine to make me very authoritative.
Well, yeah, you're very simian in nature.
Yes.
I mean, you got that silverback gorilla thing going.
Which shows people a sign of, like, wisdom. Like, I've been around a long time.
Very monkey-like.
Like, since our ancestors descended from the trees. Kind of like.
Sorry.
That's all right.
I had to play that.
We actually have a correction, John.
We do.
Yes, in celebrity news, we reported that James Bond... Daniel Craig had signed on for 4 more movies, but that is not the case.
It's not true.
He says, Daniel Craig says, well, that's what's been said. It's not that it's not true because I haven't signed up. What I've done is I've signed up on the next movie, Bond 22. After that, we'll see. That's the way I'm doing it, and it's certainly not 4 more. That's the truth. So, we have problem... with the mainstream media just reporting on current events and the W and politics. And now it's seeping into celebrity news, John. I mean, we can't count on anybody. Yeah, where does it end? I tell you where it ends, John. It ends right here
right
on TTN.
Here on the show.
That's right.
No doubt.
In other celebrity news, Jessica Simpson. What do you think about Jessica Simpson there, Cousin Dan?
Pretty nice, man, I tell you.
Nice looking?
Oh, man.
So would her looks overwhelm you enough to have sit down and have a conversation with her?
Conversation?
What if she was dead? Would you put the kick in?
That's an excellent question, John.
Again, freshly dead? No, just Cindy Crawford. she's the one. She's
freshly
the, she's
dead.
She's the only dead cadaver I would mate with. No, Jessica Simpson conversation, probably not. But
wow,
I'd like to sit with her. I'd be all right. I'd be all right. Have her on my arm. I wouldn't mind doing that.
I would just do it for the show, you know?
Yeah.
Hopefully somebody would take the picture and we could post it on the website.
Take one for the team.
And then I'd get the hell out of there.
Because she'd start talking.
Right.
And you'd put a gun in your mouth.
Jessica Simpson is ready to strip naked in a Hollywood movie.
Really?
Yeah, but here's where her stupidity seeps in. The blonde beauty wants to be taken seriously as an actress and believes bearing all is the best way to earn the respect of Tinseltown.
For me, yeah.
Even if it goes against her family's wishes. A source said, Jessica's in the running for a role that, if she gets it, will put her right on the map in terms of acting. See, roles don't put people on the map in terms of acting, John. What puts people on the map?
Nudity.
No, their ability to act.
Oh, right.
That's what puts people on the map. Not roles. Roles is the part of it. But you're not going to get a single role that's going to put you on the map. You have to have the ability to begin with.
Ability.
Right on. The only hitch is that the script requires a number of quite graphic scenes, including full frontal. Jessica is so desperate to land the role and get the industry's respect that she's ready to go against her better judgment and her family by agreeing to bear all.
Oh, my God.
Earlier this year,
the beef?
Jessica's father, Joe Simpson,
urethras, we have a little teeny tiny vagina,
forced her to turn down a potentially Oscar-winning role as a porn star. Who? See, here's what I don't understand. Is that how Hollywood works? You need to take this role because you'll be considered for an Oscar, so don't ask for $1 million. Do it for $20,000. Is that what they tell?
Because you might get an Oscar.
Yeah, and they're so stupid they believe it.
Oh, really? Oh.
He said, the last script that came to us was for Jessica to be a porn star. We were promised we would win an Oscar with that.
Oh, what do you mean promised?
I told them,
deal?
I think we'll just buy a statue of a little man and keep our clothes on. this is not surprising. Jessica's movie career has stalled as of late with her most recent film, Blonde Ambition, called a disaster and failing to gain a cinema release.
Oh, what a shock.
I wonder why.
Oh, shocking.
That is shocking. Totally shocking. What do you think she has a chance for an Oscar there, Cousin Dan?
No, there's no way.
You think that her naked body would just overwhelm Oscar voters and she'd get it just for showing the goods?
If it was my award show, then yes. She of would course. Get an Oscar immediately.
Yeah. as long as the tip could go in.
Right.
I don't care if you're dead or not.
Real world Oscars, I don't think that's going to help out. I mean, Halle Berry maybe, but...
Actually, watch me produce an Oscar from your vajay.
Vajayjay.
Vajayjay.
Shpling. Also in celebrity news, Wesley Snipes. Are you familiar with Wesley
Snipes? In trouble
Snipes?
For now?
Well, he's in tax evasion, right? They're going after him. He says, I'm a victim of racism.
What?
Wesley Snipes has slammed the media for portraying him as a bad guy after he was charged with tax fraud, claiming he is the victim of racism. Snipes, 45, is due to stand trial next month in Florida on charges he fraudulently claimed tax refunds of almost $12 million in 96 and 97. He is also accused of failing to file a tax return. He didn't even file from 99 to 2004.
Oh, wow.
But it's racism. The IRS
I'm being held down by the man.
IRS only cares about one color, John. Do you know what that is?
Green,
that's
baby.
Right, green. You can be... so black, you're almost purple, like Wesley Snipes. They don't care. They like the green.
He's blue-black.
The green.
The green. So if you're a green black man.
The star also blamed the press and its racial prejudice for over-exaggerating the scandal and depicting him as a villain. When did that happen?
In Demolition Man, he was the villain.
No, but when did the press? They just reported, okay, he's evaded taxes. This is what we know, allegedly.
Yeah.
How is that racial prejudice? How are we supposed to report that, John? Huh? Like on the media.
Always bet on black, Scott.
They'd do that to any celebrity, though, wouldn't they? I mean,
well, yeah.
Jessica Alba's in tax tax problems, they'd report it immediately.
Yeah. Did they say, like, African-American star Wesley Snipes?
Yeah, they could just say Wesley Snipes, I guess.
They don't think they said African-American star. The black star, Wesley Snipes.
Who knows? Just pay your taxes. Make enough goddamn money.
Yeah, really.
In other celebrity news, Cousin Dan, are you familiar with High School Musical 1 and 2?
I've just recently got into those two movies.
Well, that kind of frightened me. When you say you got into
them. When
you're
moving out, dude.
You mean you recently saw them, right? You
didn't I didn't see them.
Get into them.
Trailers for...
Oh, Zach Efron.
That's me.
What's Zach?
Hold on.
That's me.
Let me finish. Equals stink.
Are you familiar with Ashley Tisdale?
Yes. I've been watching The Suite Life of Equals
Zach and Cody. Right on.
I had to watch that this weekend.
Did they have a marathon?
Yeah, huge marathon. I had to watch that.
What about you, John? You know Ashley Tisdale?
No,
you don't know
her?
I
don't watch.
Come
any
on,
of
you
that
could
shit.
Admit it.
No, I don't. Who is it?
Well, she was on The Suite Life of Zach and Cody. Then she was in High School Musical 1 and 2, and now Disney is starting this music career for her. So she has videos,
Disney.
And she's like a Britney Spears, right? Anyway, get this. And I just don't get this at all. Pop singer and High School Musical star Ashley Tisdale suffered a panic attack on stage in New York on Friday night.
What?
After a recent rhinoplasty left her struggling for breath. The pretty blonde was showing off her nose, her new nose, at the Z100 Jingle Ball. Her first public appearance since undergoing the cosmetic procedure in Beverly Hills. Looking strikingly different, the 22-year-old took the stage at Madison Square Garden despite a little obvious swelling from the cosmetic surgery. Tisdale reluctantly went under the knife. Reluctantly. Here's where the story falls apart to me. Now, you remember, does she need a nose job?
No.
She doesn't need a nose job. No. Who's telling her to get a nose job?
Hollywood.
Barbara Streisand didn't get a nose job. Oh. She had a very good career.
Of all people.
Tisdale reluctantly went under the knife to correct a severely deviated septum. Okay, so that's the standard Hollywood excuse. Now, I'm not a doctor, but I did go to med school, and I'll explain at the end. She admits her first post-surgery show did not go as well as she'd hoped, telling people, "I was so out of breath, I started hyperventilating. They were thinking it was a heart attack. The tour doctor got me oxygen tank, and I sat outside the stage and breathed in oxygen until I could catch my breath." All right. Now, here's the deal. If you have a deviated septum, they do not do a rhinoplasty.
No.
Oh, you guys were doctors too?
Yeah.
You went to med school?
You didn't hear about that?
No, I didn't hear about that.
We talked about it in the first segment.
Doctor. We did?
Doctor?
Yeah.
Doctor?
This segment? No, this show.
Dr. Howard, Dr. Fine?
A septoplasty is performed entirely through the nostrils. And if it is the only procedure performed, it does not cause any bruising or swelling following surgery.
Starts in the anus.
A rhinoplasty is surgery performed specifically to reshape the nose and can be done for health or cosmetic purposes. It is the one's most common types of plastic surgery procedures.
Fuck.
All right, so for some reason, this is an attractive girl. She feels like she has to get her goddamn nose. I don't get that.
And lose 20 pounds, too.
And
right?
If you're a singer, aren't you...
She get fake boobs?
Oh, I don't know. If you're a singer, though, don't you not want to fuck with your nose? That's like why Barbara Streisand never did anything with her nose. Because she didn't want to screw with the tone of her voice.
Yeah.
Because wouldn't it eventually affect your voice? Wouldn't it?
Well,
more
I guess.
Pinched.
Yeah, sure.
More pinched or...
Right. Yeah. Right on.
I can't breathe.
And our last celebrity story tonight. Former Brady Bunch star Christopher Knight.
No.
You know who that is, Cousin Dan?
No,
which one,
man.
Christopher Knight?
No, which one was that?
That's the middle one, right? Peter Brady?
Yeah.
Threatened to leave his model wife, Adrienne Curry, when she posed for sexy lesbian photos.
Wow.
What is wrong with this douchebag? What?
Do you know why she posed for sexy lesbian photos?
Because she is a lesbian.
It was a birthday gift to him.
Oh, man.
The incident, which was caught on camera for an upcoming reality show, My Fair Brady.
Yeah, I've seen that show. That's so fucking What is the deal?
Left the upset actor suggesting the couple separate. The girl-on-girl photos, which Curry has since repeated with a pal for Playboy magazine, were supposed to end a feud over baby plans, but they started a new one. In the tense episode, which will air in January, Knight says of the photo gift, it is the, get this word, I don't even know if I can pronounce this. This has got to be a made-up word. I don't even know if Christopher Knight can pronounce this. I'm going to watch the show just to see him pronounce this word. It is the physicalization of my worst fears. It creeps me out. I want a separation. Lesbianism creeps him out.
Physicalization?
Physicalization. It is the physicalization of my worst fears. That's
sure,
like,
is that like psychalization?
Physicalization.
Realization.
Physicalization. That's like a W word.
Physicalization.
Physicalization. Now, John, if your wife, if she gave you some lesbian photos of her in lesbian action as a birthday gift, would you want a separation?
No.
You'd probably ask some questions, though, no?
I'd be like, what prompted this?
Is there something we need to talk about?
What's going on here?
But you wouldn't be so disgusted just by that that you'd want a separation.
No.
Right. I just don't get it. I don't get it. Maybe it's because of his belief system, you know?
Yeah. Jesus.
Could be. Who knows?
Believes in Jesus.
I don't know. Turning to science news. Oh, you know what? I need to back up. We were talking about the nobodies earlier.
Right.
The nobodies left us a comment. One of the things I did when I was looking for my Roger Clemens genius prediction is I went to Podzinger, and you can search all the shows that we've done for phrases, and I couldn't find it. But what I did find, because I typed in TTN,
yeah,
you find out all the other podcasts that are talking about us.
Talking about us. You talk too much.
So one of the podcasts was the Nobodies. And the cool thing is, it takes you right to the MP3, the part of the MP3 where they're
really
talking about you. Yeah, based on your search criteria. I just dropped the pen in the leather chair. This isn't
great.
A permanent marker, is it?
So
what I did is I noticed that the Nobodies had mentioned TTN, and I went and I played it, and I was pleasantly surprised by some of the comments.
Oh.
And so I brought it in. I brought the clip in, John.
All right.
Now what they're talking about is sound quality of podcasts.
Sound quality.
So they're going to talk about the Smodcast first, and then they're going to talk about some other podcasts.
All right.
Go ahead. Play that clip, if you will, before we get into science
news.
Other
shows like the Smodcast with Kevin Smith and Scott Moyer, sometimes their sound is unlistenable.
Right.
And I'm like, so it makes me feel like, you know what? These are, like, Scott Moser is a producer, and they're, I mean, they're not necessarily engineers, but they've been around some stuff. And
they should know
and
some
still,
people where they say, hey, dude, I'll buy you a pizza. And guys are like, okay.
Yeah. So I'm like, you know what? Our sound is, so I feel good that ours generally isn't as bad as some that's out there. And it's not as good as others, you know.
Right, yeah.
Like, I would kill to have the sound quality of Total Talk Nonsense, generally speaking.
So they're totally into sound. They're totally...
Yeah.
They're musicians, and they...
But for amateurs,
well, and
we
then
do
I
all
mean,
right.
Doesn't...
Yeah, I need to correct Kelly there. When she said, they're totally... I'm not into it at all, as far as the audio. You told me what mic to buy. I bought the mic... I plugged it in. That's it. You handle all the audio.
It's so simple, though. It's very easy.
Well, they're not too far. Maybe we could take a road trip out there and hook them up.
Yeah, they just got to get rid of some of that background noise.
That could have been with the Audacity.
Oh, yeah,
but
picking
it does,
up your own.
Yeah, but it does sound
your
like...
Your mic is live.
But it does sound like... Kelly is off mic, so we could...
it could be that when you hit the stereo mix that your mic was open.
Right.
On yours.
Yeah,
and,
that could have been
you
it.
You were recording yourself in the room.
Yeah, that could have been it.
I've heard that on some of your Audacity clips. You're giggling during the... That's out of sight.
All right, then. Turning to science news, John. Now, we hear this all the time. We hear about this, and I just I look for the evidence. I don't find the evidence other than a news story. So the Washington Post comes out with a story. They say, TV film game violence threatens public health.
What?
Violence depicted on television and films, video games, raises the risk of aggressive behavior in adults and young viewers and poses a serious threat to public health, according to a new study. After reviewing more than 50 years of research on the impact of violence in the media, L. Rowell Huseman of the University of Michigan and his colleague Brad Bushman concluded that only smoking posed a greater danger. Here's what they say. Exposure to violent electronic media has a larger effect than all but one other well-known threat to public health. The only effect slightly larger than the effect of media violence and aggression is that of cigarette smoking.
Based on what? And what study?
Here's the thing.
And how many? Just one?
And it says the results were true for both men and women. And it appears to be just one study. But here's the thing that makes me think it's not even scientific. Here's what the guy says. Quote, the research clearly shows. Now, if I'm a scientist, that's not how I would state it.
Never clearly.
I would state it, the evidence gathered shows, not the research. It makes it sound like it's been set up to provide this conclusion that they already came up with.
Yeah.
But there's in this news story, there's no stats, no evidence.
Nothing.
Just a couple of guys mouthing off.
Research clearly shows.
Yeah, that violence threatens public health, but they don't even say how. They don't even say how. Bunch of shit. So this is in the shit science section, John.
Shit. That is.
That is one big pile of shit.
It is one big pile of shit. Like, nobody was violent before TV.
What's your fucking point?
Yeah.
Next science story, John. We talked a little bit about this last week. We had a conversation about atheism.
Yeah.
Get this. A poll.
A poll.
finds more Americans believe in the devil than Darwin.
Oh.
Now, that could be because he's been on our show, right?
Could be.
More Americans believe in literal hell and in the devil than Darwin's theory of evolution, according to a new Harris poll.
Wow.
In the latest survey to highlight Americans' deep level of religiosity, a cultural trait that sets it apart from much of the developed world. It also helps explain many of its political battles, which Europeans find bewildering, such as efforts to have intelligent design theory, which holds life is too complex to have evolved by chance, taught in schools alongside evolution.
Oh,
that's bullshit.
So the rest of the world sees this poll and they're like, what's going on over there with those dopes in America? Dopes. And they got a dope in charge. That's the problem with the W. You get the dope in charge, right? And then they start to question the sanity of the country. And they start coming out with polls and studies to prove that we're dopes.
It's so complex, we shouldn't even try to question it or study it. Let's just make an assumption.
Right.
Based on some wacky whatever. Wacky whatever, yeah.
82% believe in God. The figure unchanged since 2005. It further found 79% believed in miracles, 75% in heaven, while 72% believe that Jesus is the Son of God.
Well, yeah, it doesn't help that people like my mom are telling my kids about Resurrection Mary. And she's real. Oh, yeah. I've seen her.
No, my daughter asked me about her. She didn't hear it from, she heard it from kids at school. Resurrection
right.
Mary.
It's got to come down from an adult at some point.
I don't know which one.
Well, I don't know who either, but I mean, it's got to come, you know, it's it's usually sitting around, and some kid heard it, had to have heard it from an adult at some point, right?
I would think. Well, yeah, the kid at school, yeah.
Oh yeah, ghosts are real, and I got to tell them all. No, they're not. They're not. There are no ghosts. Yeah, there are. There are, Dad. There are.
Then it gives you an excellent opportunity to explain the scientific method to them.
And I say, prove it.
Right.
That's it. Just prove it. Prove it. I don't, Dad, you prove that there isn't one. I go, okay, prove there's no pink elephant in my pocket right now. Prove there's no purple dragon in the trunk of my car.
I can't.
You can't?
No.
Why not?
I can't, unless you gave me the keys to your trunk.
That's research.
But he moved. He moved.
Oh,
right when
left,
you opened
right
it,
when
he left.
I opened it, right, yeah. Belief in hell and the devil was expressed at 62%. Only 42% believe in Darwin's theory. 42%.
Amazing.
It's un-goddamn believable. Unbelievable.
It sickens me.
That's from the sickening science department.
Poopy equals stinky.
Now let's get to real science.
Real science.
This is real science. In the beginning, there was creationism, which assumed we had never evolved. Then came the theory of evolution, John, through random mutation and natural selection. Then came a new hypothesis, and this is the latest, John. And this is the thing about science. It's always offering more detailed answers, right?
Did you say always?
Always, yeah. Once our ancestors had developed agriculture and stable societies and no longer lived at nature's mercy, human evolution had ceased. That is what the current thought is until a couple of days ago. Now we're in the midst of the next mutation in evolutionary theory. Human evolution didn't slow. As we advanced from nature to culture, it accelerated and changed. Culture, born of natural selection, became natural selection's driving force. It takes a while to wrap your mind around that,
yeah,
but that's goddamn fascinating, isn't it? So what they're saying is that we evolved to a point where we can have societies and we can have culture. And now that we have culture, culture is now affecting our evolution as well as nature. And I'll tell you how. This is the message of a new study of the human genome. If true, it radically complicates the debate between nature and nurture. The question is no longer simply whether our genes are the source of civilization, but whether they're also its product.
Mm.
This is hard to grasp. Let me know if I'm going too quickly. This study was published in the National Academy of Sciences and based on DNA samples from around the world, concludes that human evolution has accelerated in the past 40,000 years and particularly in the last 10,000. One reason is that population growth has increased and the temporal rate of mutations and selections. But in the case of humans, the authors note, rapid population growth has been coupled with vast changes in cultures and ecology, creating new opportunities for adaptation. Are you ready for the opportunities?
Yeah. Hit me.
This argument's pretty straightforward, John. Organisms evolve in response to changing environments, right?
Right.
This can lead, paradoxically, to change the environment. Once this happens, the progress becomes very rapid, because culture changes more rapidly than nature does. I'm going to give you a few examples.
Are we talking on a macro scale or micro?
Dairy cultivation made the ability to drink milk in adulthood advantageous, which in turn led to the genetic spread of lactose tolerance. You see how that works?
Yeah.
So agriculture, we start milking
evolved
cows.
As a, yeah, right.
And now those who really took advantage became lactose tolerant of milk.
Yeah.
They evolved. Settlement elevated the threat of disease
intolerant,
such as malaria and cholera, which in turn caused the dissemination of genes for resisting such diseases. Again, mutation, evolution. And the last example, the transition from hunting and gathering to growing corn produced new dietary threats such as diabetes, to which our DNA is still adapting.
Still.
Also, gathering and growing corn produced a lot of people, gave a lot of people the solution for wiping their rear ends after they took shits. They would do it with corn. We talked about that last week.
Husks.
Right. So that, husks. I don't know if anybody else thinks that's
fascinating. Did they use the cob?
They used the cob, yeah. No, the cob. Yeah, they used the cob.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
I thought it was the husk.
No, the husk. Come on. You de-husk it. You use the cob.
And then shove it up your anus?
Well, I would think I would...
And drill it, or what?
I would do kind of like a twirl method.
Twirl.
You know, like along you're buttering up the cob? Or?
Parallel to the crack.
Yeah.
I wouldn't shove it in. Of course, that would be effective, too, I guess.
Clean your right out.
Here's the conclusions. Much of what now passes for natural selection isn't actually natural. It's social. So now there's this huge social component.
Social selection?
When you think about evolution in terms of human evolution, that is, John. And then I don't get this last statement the author concludes with, all of which poses a problem for anyone who equates genes with human nature or who expects evolution to take God's place as judge and perfecter of humankind. I don't get that. Whoever expected nature to do that? Or evolution? I didn't. What if God's not even in the equation? Why does he have to put God in here? Huh?
I don't know.
It may be true that today's God is a human creation, but so, in a way, is today's evolution. Okay, I get what he's saying there, but it's still the correlation doesn't make sense. God is a creation of man, his mind, where what they're talking about, the new evolution, is based on culture, which is a byproduct of society. It's not an individual's expression in his mind. It's not an idea.
Right.
So it doesn't, I don't
get that. It's the study of the process.
Right, right. A study.
And you're giving it some sort of definition. What's all that noise?
That's me. I had to adjust. Yeah.
Are you adjusting your nuts?
My nuts.
Speaking of nuts.
Yeah.
I think Cousin Dan has a nice story.
You tell
it,
man.
We're going to segue into the nut story.
You can tell that, man.
Did I tell you this story, Scott?
Oh, this is good times.
I think you told me that you wanted to have Dan on to tell the nut story.
Yeah. I had to work not this last Saturday, but a week ago Saturday. And I'm at my office, and you and I are going to meet at the studio to start clearing it out later in the day. And I told Cousin Dan that I was going to do that, and he offered to help. And sometime in Saturday, he calls me on my cell at work. I'm at work, and he's like, "Hey, man, hey, how's it going? Great." You still going over to studio to unload that shit? What time? I don't know, like around 3-4. Oh, why? What's you spit it out? What's the problem? You sitting down?
He asked you if you were sitting down.
He's asking me if I'm sitting down. Yeah, I'm sitting down. What's up, man? He goes, dude, man, I was taking a shit, and I scratched the scab off my balls, and now they won't stop bleeding.
Oh, man.
You had to sit down for that. Why did he have to sit down for that?
I said, shut up, you liar.
Not natural, man.
I said, you're lying. That's not even, that's a funny joke, dude. That's hilarious. No, man, I'm not kidding, man. I'm serious. And he's making jokes, too, like, I'm a bleeder, yeah. I'm like, shut up. No, man, tell me where a hospital is, man. I'm like, what? You need stitches on your nuts? I mean, I'm thinking, what the hell did you do, man?
This is after a half an hour
of bleeding.
And direct pressure didn't work?
Direct pressure for 2 minutes and direct pressure for 5 minutes did not work. That's when I panicked. Well, you know what? Maybe somebody else might be able to help me out.
You could have taken a rubber band and just kept tightening it up, and you know, like
that's how they castrate bulls.
Right, right.
That's not a bad idea.
I got some questions here. Now, where did this occur?
Here.
It occurred here?
That's correct.
All right, so you're walking around the house, what, in skivvies? How do you have access to your nuts?
Just like everybody else does, man.
No, but your hand, like I'm the jeans I'm wearing right now, right. I can't get to my nuts.
Oh, no, I was taking a dump. Taking a dump.
That's right. He's taking a dump.
Sitting on the toilet. I'm like,
he's
well, what's
pressing
that?
Mud.
What's that? Flick off a little tiny bitty scab and then gush. Not squirt, but gush.
So where did this initial scab come from, and how did it?
I have no idea.
Heal up.
I have
is
no
the question
idea.
I have. So what did the doctor say?
I never went because driving around trying to find the actual hospital was go to this street, then go to this street, then go to this street. Pretty simple directions. However, each street has four different fucking names. So going
you know,
to
like Dempster slash Miner slash
right.
Thacker is Dempster.
Right. So taking lefts and rights on each street did not get me any closer to the hospital or the ER.
He was like in Palatine, man.
So I've got
trying to find
right.
Lutheran General.
I went to Rosemont. I have one hand. I'm driving with one hand on my nuts. With a paper towel, trying to keep the blood back. And it worked. Driving around, one hand on my nuts. John calls. You finding a place? No, I'm not finding the place. Okay, I'm not. I've got, you know, I'm driving with one hand, trying to talk on the cell phone with the other. It did not work out too well.
And he's yelling at me.
Yeah.
I can't, man. I'm making a U-turn one-handed. Talking on the phone, holding my nuts.
So you got an automatic car, right? Not manual?
Good. Oh, man. To deal with that. I would have had my dick around the stick shift to change gears.
So you're driving. How do you have your hand on your nuts with a towel? What are you wearing in the car?
I'm wearing warm-up pants.
Warm-up pants. Good thing you didn't get pulled over.
Oh, I'm glad about it. Well, it would have been
on
nice.
There, son?
I would have said, hey, can you please escort me to the nearest hospital?
He wouldn't have done that. He would have took you to the station so you could repeat your story for all of his yes. friends.
Listen to this clown.
You'll never believe it. You'll never believe it. Anyway, so I'm driving around. I don't know, half hour goes by. Still have my hand, you know, compressed over my balls with the paper towel in the middle to collect all blood. I gotta keep checking every, you know, however long it is. I check. Oh, hey, it stopped. That's great. Turn around, come back home. Job's done. No doctor needed.
But tell the story about how you had to see it. So you pulled your.
Well, I gotta pull the pants up.
Well, so you pulled your.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I'm on the shitter, and I'm
this
like,
is before
why?
You go to the hospital, right?
This is this is the very start of it. I'm like, this is a lot of blood, you know, dab, doesn't seem to do it, compressed doesn't seem to do it. So I stretch it out like a bat wing and find the vein. And find the vein. I'm like, man, that can't be great. Thumb on either side of the vein stops it. Thumbs come off? No. Starts right back up again. So yeah,
and then he's got to go outside to his car, which is across the street, and he's got his hand in his pants, holding his nuts, and the whole neighborhood's out singing Christmas carols.
Minivans going by. Hey, little kid. Oh, it was great. It was great. That was the best day of my life.
Bloody so, nuts.
What's the prognosis? You got the scab? You got to stay away from
it? No, everything's fine. No, there was no scab after. That's what's even more mysterious. I think, I don't know if it was a scab or like a little tiny clot or who knows what it was, but it flicked something off. Now it's fine. No worries.
And I thought, you know, he was shaving his nuts.
Right. Or something, who knows what's going on, but a corn cob or who knows.
Right.
And he nicked his nuts.
Right.
And then yesterday, we set up, every year when it snows, I put snow on the steps on the deck in the back of my house so the kids can sled off the steps, right?
Right.
And, you know, have a great time. And Cousin Dan decides he's going to snowboard on one of the kids' sleds. And Cousin Dan's, what, you know, 6'2", right?
Right.
About 280, 250, 280. He's a big guy, right?
Not small.
He's not small. So he tries it one time, and he kind of wipes out, but he catches himself. He's good.
I'm good
he's
until okay. the end. I go down,
yeah.
get there at the end. Oh,
boom, boom, boom. Then, he's
right,
okay.
Right.
So, you know, I go up there, and I think I'm going to do it. And I said, fuck that. Yeah, I'm going to break an arm. It's you know, my arm's going to just telescope into my body when I fall. So I go down on my back and on my stomach, and then he goes up and does it again. And he,
to show you up.
Yeah.
In front of your kids. In front of your kids. You know, watch what I can do that your old man can't do.
And he does it again. This time, as he goes down, the sled shoots out from his feet and goes like a mile. And he hits the ground hard and punches himself in the face. He gives himself a bloody nose.
The left hand hits me in the face and teeth. My right hand goes in between a rib.
I think he like ruptured his spleen.
Oh man.
Am I bleeding? Am I bleeding? Gets up. Am I bleeding? No, you're not bleeding. All of a sudden, duke, little blood spots all over the snow.
Why is the snow all pink?
It was great.
That was awesome.
Good time with the kids yesterday.
Oh my ribs.
His ribs, his balls. He punched himself in the face.
I'm glad I came here to stay.
Yeah.
It was a wise choice.
It's hazardous to your health, man.
This or in my car.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Oh, man.
What the hell? Hey, dude. Go get that, would you?
Who, Dan? Or Cousin Dan or me?
Yeah.
All right. Oh, check that out. It's Alfie. Hey, Alfie. What's up? It's Alfie the Elf, Cousin Dan.
Hey!
You ever met Alfie?
I have not.
Oh, man. Oh, it's Dan. It's cold out there, man. Oh, shit. It's my music.
Alfie.
Hell no.
Cousin Dan's never met you, never heard of you. Give a little intro.
Oh.
For any new fans that we have.
All right, well. I'm from the North Pole. My name is Alfie the Elf. I'm an elf of color, my brother. And I like to come down and talk to the boys about, you know, what's been going down up in the North Pole with the Santa Claus.
Yeah, I got
Actually,
a question
I gotta
for
escape
you.
Every once in a while, man, because this is for shit up there, man. There's a slave driver, that motherfucker up there.
I got a question for you.
Yeah, what's that? What's up, bro?
Yeah, I get the Christmas.
You get some Christmas music. You know what? I'm on the show. I want to hear some shit, man.
Well, you got to talk to John about that.
What's he doing?
I don't know. It seems like he's having some mic trouble. Oh, there you go.
There we go.
There it is.
Ah, see?
So,
he's over there, the magic man, over there with that PC doing that shit.
Yeah.
Hell no.
So now during the holiday season, the family and I, we, love to break out the Christmas movies and watch Christmas movies over and over again. Do you guys do that up in the North Pole? Do you bust out the Christmas movies?
We watch like, Falling Down, you know, shit like that. Sometimes we watch, Die Hard. That's a good Christmas movie.
Right. Die
shit?
Hard. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good one. Sometimes we want, you know, yeah, we watch it's a Silent Night, Deadly Night. That's a good one. I like that. I like that one.
What about Bad Santa? You watch that one? Bad Santa?
That's a good. Yeah, I like the Bad Santa.
So when you say we watch, who the other elves? Does Santa watch? Who watches?
No, Santa don't watch that shit, man. We got to do that on the down low.
So now, your actual.
Netflix, you know that? Netflix?
Oh, right. Netflix, right.
Netflix, yeah. That's some cool-ass shit, man. Nobody knows I got that stuff.
So, now that your duties...
duties? Said duties,
up in the North Pole, you, you like...
Oh, no.
Equals stinky.
Oh, John, that's funny, man.
You like muck the reindeer stalls, right?
What?
Is that what you do? Fuck. What do you do up there? I can't remember. Fuck. You take care of the reindeer, don't you?
Yeah, I take care of the
reindeer. You muck their stalls and, you know, clean the shit out and shit like that.
Yeah, sometimes I do that shit, but mostly I make toys. I make the toys for the little girls and the boys.
Yeah, how's that going?
It's all right. You know, I got to tell you, though, man, it's getting tough up there because We losing market share to the Kwanzaa.
The Kwanzaa?
Hanukkah. Yeah, man.
What do you, well, who makes those toys?
And now Ramadan and all that shit.
Don't you guys handle all that stuff?
No, we don't do that. We just do Christmas.
There's a war on Christmas. I don't know if you've heard that.
Yes, I heard that shit. Yeah, that's Bill O'Reilly. He's trying to stop that war on Christmas. Because,
you guys doing anything about it?
Oh, yeah. Well, see, you know, Santa Claus, like I told you before, Santa is like a word jumble for Satan.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you did say
that.
And
we don't know for sure, but, you know, you seem like a... What's that? With the Da Vinci Code?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there's some shit like that. And Da Vinci used to draw stuff like he put little pictures of Santa Claus in there. And we think it's Satan. So we got a conspiracy theory going on that they one and the same. That's why we wear the red suit.
Right, right. And
he's
know,
gotta be. We don't know for sure. But I think so.
He's awfully consumed with the naughty list as well.
Oh, yeah. And what's that? Yeah. What's that shit? That's like going to heaven. You know, you got to do good to go to heaven, right? So you got to do the same with Santa Claus, right? You got to be good to get something. And if you're bad, you get coal. What's that?
Coal.
That's not cool,
that's
man.
A fossil fuel that creates fire.
Well, thank
that's
you
what
for
that is.
Okay, Al Gore. We got Al Gore on the show now. That's great.
No, but and how does Santa know all that stuff? How does he know who's naughty and who's nice?
I don't know, man. That's what freaks me out, man. So, you know.
Because God told us.
And with this market share shit, they're talking about, letting some of us go and putting in automation and shit like that. But, you know, we're starting a union.
Well, that's
we're thinking
cool.
about digging up Jimmy Hoffa, man. Have him come back and help our ass out. You know what I'm saying?
Right on.
Hell yeah. And I've been working with the Easter Bunny. I've been telling you about that, right?
No.
I told you last year about
Did
that.
You?
We're working
I can't
with the
remember.
Easter Bunny to knock off that fat red bastard. That son of a bitch. Man, he's... I gotta hide. I gotta run here. You don't know. Man, my family's all still back there. I got a couple of shorties.
Well, he
and
knows.
That's funny I say that because I'm a little short myself. You know, I got even shorty shorties.
Well, if your theory holds true, he knows. He knows. I mean, you can sneak all around you
no,
want.
No, I'm a mythical. I'm an elf.
But
dumb
he knows.
Ass. How the hell is he going to
so,
know
So, wait
about
a minute.
Me?
The Santa doesn't know, Satan doesn't know about mythical creatures?
Well, I don't know. I just told you it's a conspiracy theory. We don't know for sure.
Right. Oh,
I
see.
If he is Satan, maybe he just, you know, he's just this fucked up dude that never gets old.
You're
you know?
Lacking this hard evidence.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Okay.
You hear what I, you feel me on that? You feel me?
Yeah, so...
Oh, yeah.
You guys have any problem with lead in toys like China?
No.
I mean, what happens?
No, well, that's the thing we're saying, too. You know, we make all the toys.
Yeah.
And they're buying the shit from China. I don't understand that, man. Because we make some good stuff, you know?
Some quality
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, we make a baby that cries and wets her pants and all that stuff, you know, for the little girls. And then the boys, you know, we make their little red wagon.
What's the most popular request this year for boys and girls?
The Hannah Montana acoustic guitar.
Right.
No, that's a big one lately.
Have you seen one of her concerts, Hannah Montana?
Oh, man. No, I have not, but I've seen the TV show because my shorties, they like to watch the Disney Channel, man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, no doubt.
Hell yeah. But no, I ain't never seen one of them concerts. You know, I don't get time to get out much. You know, once in a while I can sneak out to talk to y'all on your show.
What but else that, do you do when you sneak it. Out?
Well, I'd roll up a blunt, you know.
Yeah.
Get a little stone.
You do that by yourself?
Eat some fries. No, sometimes I hook up with some of the Easter Bunny's buddies, you know.
What about the hotties? Any hotties up there? Little dwarfettes?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I like the big booty on the little ones.
Yeah?
The bigger the heads head. They got a big head. I like a big head and a big booty. And the really, really short arms. They say, so cute. You know what, the short arms? Yeah, I like that shit.
So, you mentioned you got the little ones. What does your wife think about, you know, all this?
What are you talking about, man?
You're telling me that you like what you like in an elf.
Yeah.
What does your wife think about that?
Well, she looks you mentioned like that. What do you think, man? Sure.
Oh, so you're talking specifically about your wife?
Oh, hell yeah. Don't you be trying to cross me up, man.
It sound like you were talking about in
what?
General.
Oh, you see, you always tricking on me. You playing the game.
No, I'm not playing.
I pop a cap in your ass. I told you that before, man.
Cousin Dan, you have any questions for Alfie?
I think he answered them all.
Yeah, all of them? Don't you even want to know what you're getting for Christmas?
I know what I'm getting, man. I'm getting fucked on my mortgage.
that's the truth, man. You've been naughty.
What are you talking about? Rates are low.
And scratching your balls and making them bleed. I don't understand that, man. That's weird.
It bleeds red for Santa, man.
Yeah.
You heard that outside?
I don't know how to respond.
How did you hear that?
Yeah, I've been listening to the whole show, man.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, there's no smoking in the house. So I was out there firing up a blunt while you listen to the show.
Right on.
Hell yeah. You guys got to pump through the speakers.
You want some Cheetos or something?
No, I'm all right. I'm going to go get some fries and a shake, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
You know, I like to dip the french fries right in my chocolate shake, you know?
Really?
Good shit. Yeah, I don't know why. And then maybe I'll give me a pork chop sandwich down on Maxwell Street.
Uh-huh. Pork chop, huh?
Oh, yeah, that's good shit, man.
So you're not one of those Muslim elves, is what you're saying?
No, no, hell no. No, I like to eat that pork. I like some rib tips, you know. Give me some collard greens and a pork chop sandwich with the bone in. I like that shit. And give me the Maxwell Polish with the grilled onions. You ever had that?
No.
Oh, that is out of sight, man. I like saying out of sight. You gotta say out of sight. It's funny, ain't it?
That is.
It's awesome.
I think I gotta go, man.
All right.
Good to meet you, man. Good to meet you.
You know, thanks for coming, man. Thanks I was wondering who that, by, little, that crack ass was
no
sitting
doubt.
Next to you over there, Baldy.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's up with that?
What up with that?
I don't know, man.
Hey, so what, Kanye, is he the man when it comes to rap or what?
No, I don't know if he's the man when it comes to rap, but he's the man when it comes to rapping in the news, if you know what I'm saying.
I don't know what that means, rapping in the
news. He's Mr. Controversy. He's Conway Controversy.
Kanye Controversy.
Yeah, Controversy Kanye.
Well, what do you guys listen to up in the hood?
We listen to, you know, all kind of shit. A lot of country.
Yeah.
Country?
Yeah. Hey, I like that. Toby Keith.
Toby Keith, I was at his bar in Las Vegas. Keith bar, yeah.
Oh, hell no.
You ever been there?
No, not lately, man. I told you, I just get out to talk to you guys on your show.
The interesting thing is we had lunch there, and when they total up the bill, they subtotal the food and they subtotal the alcohol.
Ah.
And the food was like $23.50 and the alcohol was $24.
Nice.
So that was kind of
cool. Yeah. How much was the weed?
Oh, I didn't ask.
You didn't have none
I didn't
of that?
See it on the menu.
Oh, shit.
Right on.
Wow. All right, well, I got to run, man.
All right, well, thanks for stopping. You going to visit us again before?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Out of sight. Because I really wasn't prepared to interview Alfie the Elf.
I'll come back next week.
It's good to see you.
All right, just before the holidays, all right?
All right.
Good to meet you, buddy.
All right, see you later.
Oh, right. Man.
Alfie, stopping by. Oh, I see you got your mic.
Well, he uses my mic.
Oh, he uses your mic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw you fiddling around over there. I didn't know what was going on. Fiddling around.
Yeah, fiddling.
We really should take some pictures of Alfie
can
post them on the web.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Right on.
No doubt.
No doubt, John. All right, let's get into the heavy metal aspect of the show here, John.
Are you talking about, we're talking about the W?
The W. Oh, before the W, I forgot to invite Alfie to our gig, because we are a band, John.
Oh, right, yeah.
January 19th, Beacon Tap and Des Plaines. We'll take
no
the
doubt.
Stage about 9:30, I guess. I don't know. January 19th.
The stage, the big stage.
That's next year, John. Are you ready
show.
For that?
Yeah, I'm ready.
And we also moved out of the studio.
Yep.
All out of the studio. So we haven't been practicing.
That's all right. We're better when we don't practice.
Right on.
Well, yeah.
All right, you were going to play the clip to start out politics there, John.
Oh, yeah. Which one?
One of yours. We said we'll start with that.
The one with the talking.
With the talking.
Yeah, where the guy talks. About talks.
This one?
Sure. Hold it before we play it.
Oh, that's not it.
That's not it.
This one.
Well, you going to introduce it or just play it?
Yeah, actually, this is one I heard on the radio. It's a show, The Stephanie Miller Show. You ever hear that show?
No.
Mm-mm. Anyway.
She hot?
Yeah, she's pretty hot. She's the one that called Chris Matthews a Republican tool, and he just about threw her off the show. He's that blonde-haired Tweety Bird-looking dude.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
what's Scott doing?
I'm listening.
Oh.
Patiently waiting for you to set up the
clip.
Oh,
anyway, so they do some funny bits and stuff, and they did a take on It's a Wonderful Life. And this is, they called it A Blunderful Life, and it's with the W.
With the W.
George. Instead of George Bailey, it's George Bush. So here it is.
It's an all-new Christmas classic. George W. Bush is George W. Bailey in It's a Blunderful Life. What would it be like to see how much better the world would be if you had never been born?
Wow, everybody's so happy. Everybody's shopping and laughing. They all got good jobs and health care and a pension.
Of course they do, George, because you weren't there to take those things away from them. They actually have an elected president who has their best interests at heart.
Wow, there's Arlington Cemetery. Hey, it's practically empty. I thought there were more graves in there.
All those boys are alive, George, because you weren't there to send them to their deaths in an unnecessary war.
Hey, where's successful businessman and powerful Republican Mr. Dick Potter?
He's in prison, George, where he belongs, along with your friends DeLay, Rove, and Abramoff.
And I'm nothing but a warped, frustrated old man in prison. And by the way, you can all go yourselves.
It's a Blunderful Life. Every time a bell rings, a Republican gets convicted. Immediately following Michael Richards in a very Kramer Kwanzaa.
Very Kramer Kwanzaa.
Yeah.
When's that going to be on?
It's on WTTW in a couple of weeks.
Check into that.
It's a blunderful. Did that bell just kill you, man?
Gling!
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
it was worth it.
Yeah.
I brought in some W clips.
Did you?
Oberman. Now, he talks about, this is when we were out. All this shit went down. Remember W said Iraq's this imminent threat and we got to do something now.
Right.
Blah, blah, blah.
I hear there's rumors on the internets.
And then it comes out, this report comes out that says they aren't even looking to enrich uranium for nuclear weapons.
Right.
They stopped in 2003. Nuclear. And then the administration tries to put a spin on it like they're still dangerous. How are they still dangerous? Tell me that. Nuclear. How do you say it?
I don't know, but nuclear.
Nuclear.
I don't know, but Israel has been hanging out over here trying to convince the administration to get back on the saber rattling and bomb Iran.
Well, it's obviously that they're trying to concoct some other reason. Concoct? Yeah.
Concoct.
Some other reason to go after Iran. It was ridiculous. His press conference was goddamn ridiculous about this report that he knew about for how many? He knew about it before he made the WW3 comment, John. So Keith Olbermann takes him to task, and this is a very long segment, but I cut out three clips. The first clip, he says it very eloquently. Basically, I'm paraphrasing. what a chimp the W is. But go ahead and play that.
Finally, as promised, a special comment about the president's cataclysmic deceptions about Iran. There are a few choices more terrifying than the one Mr. Bush has left us with tonight. We have either a president who is too dishonest to restrain himself from invoking World War III about Iran at least 6 weeks after he had to have known that the analogy would be fantastic, irresponsible hyperbole. Or we have a president too transcendently stupid not to have asked at what now appears to have been a series of opportunities to do so, whether the fairy tales he either created or was fed were still even remotely plausible. The pathological presidential liar or an idiot in chief. It is the nightmare scenario of political science fiction, a critical juncture in our history, and contained in either answer, a president manifestly unfit to serve, and behind him in the vice presidency, an unapologetic warmonger who has long been seeing a world visible only to himself.
Wow.
So he paints two pictures of a president. You got either a deceiver, a grand deceiver, or a transcendently stupid idiot in chief.
Yeah.
I'm going with the second
kinda
one.
Kind of like this bear defense.
I'm going with the second one.
Me too.
Now, the second clip is just more of the same from Keith, but he says it so succinctly, and he uses such big words. It sounds
for an ex-sportscaster.
It sounds much better than. No, he's still sportscaster.
Oh, does he?
It sounds much better than something we can put together.
Right.
So let him say it.
All right, let him spray it.
In August, any commander-in-chief still able-minded or uncorrupted or both, sir, would have invoked the quality the job most requires, mental flexibility. A bright man or an honest man would have realized no later than the McConnell briefing that the only true danger about Iran was the damage that could be done by an unhinged, irrational Chicken Little of a president shooting his mouth off, backed up only by his own hysteria and his own delusions of omniscience. Not Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, Mr. Bush.
Wow.
The Chicken Little of presidents is the one, sir, that you see in the mirror.
Wow.
Whoa.
And the way he said Mahmoud dinner jacket or whatever his name
is probably the correct pronunciation.
That's the hard man. Damn.
That's hard.
That is hard.
Hard.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's mental deep. Flexibility. Do you think the W has mental flexibility?
Mental retardation.
Any mental
right
capabilities. And then the last clip, Keith, just sums it up right there.
And instead of sharing this good, calming news with the people you have obviously forgotten you represent, you merely fine-tuned your terrorizing of those people to legally cover your own backside while you filled the factual gap with sadistic visions of, as you phrased it on August 28th, a, quote, nuclear holocaust, as you phrased it on October 17th, quote, World War III. My comments, Mr. Bush, are often dismissed as simple repetitions of the phrase, George Bush has no business being president. Well, guess what? Tonight, hanged by your own words and convicted by your own deliberate lies, you, sir, have no business being president. Good night and good luck.
Dude, he's one angry dude.
Well,
man.
Here's the thing. It took him this long. I mean, he says it all the time, but now he's saying it like he really means it.
Yeah.
We've been saying it since we started this podcast. This guy, I can't figure it out. He couldn't manage a goddamn McDonald's, and he's the president of the United States. It's unbelievable to me.
Yeah, I know. He thought renege was shift change at McDonald's. I mean, what an ass. This chimp.
One more clip for the W here. Now, we talked I don't know if it was last podcast or the one before about... I think you mentioned the story where a woman in Saudi Arabia was gang raped.
Oh, yeah.
And she was being charged 200 lashes.
Right.
I heard about this.
Because she asked for it or something. Or she used the media to try her case. Who knows what the Saudi justice system is like? It's probably for shit. And the other thing that Keith...
Well, it's got to be. It's based on their Bible.
The other thing, the Quran. The Keith Olbermann clip points out very nicely is what a great country this is that he can make those comments about the leader of this country and still be not only alive but able to broadcast again. You couldn't do that in Saudi Arabia.
No, no. We'd be done.
Be done.
We'd be done for.
So somebody, I don't know who.
Our balls would be bleeding.
Somebody asked the W about this case, specifically about this case. Go ahead and play that clip there, Jerry.
On another issue of credibility in the Mideast, at the Annapolis summit, you used your influence to get Saudi Arabia to the table. But I wonder whether now you will use your influence to do something about the Saudi rape case that has gotten so much international attention. What goes through your mind when you hear about a 19-year-old Saudi woman getting gang raped by seven men, and basically a Saudi court blames the victim and sentences her to 200 lashes? You spoke to King Abdullah by telephone in the last couple of weeks. Did you press him on this case? If so, what did you say? And if not, are you giving him a pass?
My first thoughts were these. What happens if this happened to my daughter? How would I react? And I would have been... I would have been... I'd had... I'd have been very emotional, of course. I'd have been angry at those who committed the crime. And I'd be angry at a state that didn't support the victim. And our opinions were expressed by Dana Perino from the podium.
And King Abdullah about it personally.
I talked to King Abdullah about the Middle Eastern peace. I don't remember if that subject came
up. But if it's that important to you, why wouldn't you bring it at that level, bring it directly up to King Abdullah?
Plenty of time. He knows our position loud and clear.
Wow. So obviously something they didn't prep the W on and pound into his head. The potential that question would come up. And what a bogus answer. The first thing I would think about is my daughter.
I would...
That's a bunch of shit. He doesn't worry about his goddamn daughter. She's surrounded by 200 Secret Service agents.
And cocaine.
Both of them daughters. So that's not cocaine, even a thought that booze. Enters his mind.
Oh, man. Do you think any thought enters his mind?
That's an excellent statement. Well, the guy says in his question, he asks, what goes through your mind?
Yeah.
And right there.
This is what goes through it. That's it.
Yeah. What a dope. 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 He didn't talk to him about that.
The doping?
But the Saudi guy knows the... our opinion. How does he know our opinion if you didn't talk to him about it? Stupid.
Did you hear the latest Mitt Romney speech?
I did not. I heard about it. I didn't hear it.
He gave this speech in Iowa. And it says here, for more than a year, Romney and his strategists discussed the merits of giving a speech to formally address his faith. The matter grew more pressing in just the last 2 weeks when Romney's once formidable lead in Iowa's Republican caucuses evaporated as voters, especially conservative Christians, surged toward candidate Mike Huckabee, a one-time Baptist preacher. Huckabee also is gaining momentum in other states with early presidential contests. And one of the things he says, he's trying to be kind of John F. Kennedy-ish, when, you know, they were worried about him being a Catholic and would that affect his him being president. He said at one point Romney even echoed Kennedy's words, flanked by American flags. He pledged that he would not let his church dictate his policies. I am an American running for president, he said. I do not define my candidacy by my religion. Romney also vowed that he would stand proudly by his beliefs as a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
He said two would seem to contradict
each other. And so he says, some believe that such a confession will sink my candidacy. If they are right, so be it, Romney said. But I think they underestimate the American people. And at some point, I guess... Mike Huckabee had said, don't Mormons believe that Jesus and the devil are brothers? Which is true, I guess.
Really?
Yeah. They believe stuff like God was once a man like us. God has a tangible body of flesh and bone. God lives on a planet near the star Kalab.
Who's the guy who started Mormons? Joseph Smith?
Joseph Smith, yeah.
Yeah, that guy was a whack job.
Who was arrested for, he came up with, supposedly, he found these golden tablets that...
The plates, yeah.
In the Americas. The plates,
yeah, in the Americas.
Because Jesus came over
Jesus
to America.
Jesus came here, and then they sailed across the sea to
yeah, he hitched a ride with Columbus, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Vacation.
Who, with Clark?
Yeah.
Griswold? Clark? I didn't see that one.
Yeah. Jesus was conceived by God the Father by having sex with Mary, who was temporarily his wife. Yeah, that's what they believe. Dark skin is a curse from God, the result of our sin or the sin of our ancestors. If sufficiently righteous, Scott, a dark-skinned person will become light-skinned.
Really?
Yeah.
So Michael Jackson is a righteous man.
Right.
So, wow.
So anyway, this guy, Lawrence O'Donnell, was pressed to weigh in on the Romney speech and religion, and he got a little pissed off, and I got a rant here from him.
No, there's a big problem. Look, I'm not a Mormon, but I do play one on TV.
Are you a Christian?
On Big Love, the HBO series that has been a real headache for Romney. Here's the problem. He dare not discuss his religion. And he fools people like Pat Buchanan, who should know better. This was the worst speech, the worst political speech of my lifetime, because this man stood there and said to you, "This is the faith of my fathers." And you and none of these commentators who like this speech realize that the faith of his father is a racist faith. As of 1978, it was an officially racist faith. And for political convenience, in 1978, it switched. And it said, okay, black people can be in this church. He believes, if he believes the faith of his fathers, that black people are black because in heaven they turned away from God in this demented Scientology-like notion of what was going on in heaven before the creation of the earth.
Mormonism disqualifies him from being president.
I'm saying he's got to answer. When he was 30 years old and he firmly believed in the faith of his father that black people are inferior, when did he change his mind? Did the religion have to tell him to change his mind? And when he talks about the faith of his father, how about the faith of his great-grandfather who had five wives?
Well, look, my great-grandfather had slaves. And I don't believe in slavery.
And his religion is based on the work of a lying, fraudulent criminal named Joseph Smith, who was pro-slavery.
Wow.
We didn't get to hear Pat's point.
Oh, he just walks all over Pat. Pat never gets the word in. Yeah, who cares about Pat's point? Fuck that Nazi. Anyway, that was so later on I hear him having an interview with somebody in Lawrence O'Donnell, and he talks about also that they believe that if a black person has sex with a white person, the white person will die right there on the spot.
That's been proven many times.
Yeah.
Many times over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they also believe the Garden of Eden was in Missouri.
Of course it was.
Yeah. All humanity before the Great Flood lived in the Western Hemisphere.
Branson.
The Ark transported Noah and the other survivors to the Eastern Hemisphere, which I think you're right, Dan, on vacation.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, also Romney said that a Romney spokesman, that is, won't say if atheists have a place in America. A spokesman for Mitt Romney is thus far refusing to say whether Romney sees any positive role in America for atheists and other non-believers. So not only Chuck Norris, but Mitt Romney and Mike Huckabee have a thing against racists. Did I say racists?
Yes.
I meant atheist.
Atheist. Racist, atheist.
Racist.
What's the difference?
You got anything about Huckabee? Huckabee?
Yeah, I had, let's see, where did I put that thing? There's a bare-bone story of how, this is back in 1998, 18-year-old Mike Huckabee's son David and 17-year-old Clayton Frady, they killed a dog when they were Boy Scouts and got fired for it. And I guess they were here it says, this is back from 98. It says, two Boy Scout counselors, 17-year-old Clayton Frady and 18-year-old David Huckabee, the son of Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee, have admitted to catching a stray dog during their summer session at Camp Pioneer in Hatfield, Arkansas, and hanging the dog by his neck, slitting his throat, and stoning him to death. Camp officials who did not report the crime to law enforcement officials have admitted that the act did occur and have fired the boys from their positions. However, no charges have been filed against the young men. And how many months did Mike Vick get?
23.
Yeah.
Well, he's not connected politically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like the W.
Well, did you hear what they allegedly did to the dog?
No.
They hung it, threw stones at it, stoned it, and then slit its throat.
Yeah, didn't I just say that?
Oh, did you? Well, I asked you, did you hear what they did to the dog, and you said
well,
no.
Well, I thought you had something to add to that. I said, and hanging the dog by his neck, slitting his throat, and stoning him to death.
Yeah, I never listened to you.
Obviously.
So I'm asking you the question.
Yeah, thanks.
All right, in related Huckabee news.
In related dog
this
Huckabee
is back
stoning
in
news.
1998 as well. Huckabee wants to take this nation back for Christ.
Ah.
Then Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee spoke at the National Pastors Conference, explaining why he entered into politics. I didn't get into politics because I thought government had a better answer. I got into politics because I knew government didn't have the real answers, that the real answers lie in accepting Jesus Christ into our lives. I hope we answer the alarm clock and take this nation back for Christ.
And doesn't old Huck look like Jim Nabors?
He does.
Golly!
In the past, Huckabee has also claimed that God supports Republicans.
Oh, man.
In related news, Huckabee tried to free a man who bludgeoned a woman with nunchucks, violated her almost lifeless body, ran over her with his car, and dumped her in the bayou.
He's pretty pissed.
Do you know why?
No.
Because he repented and came to Jesus.
Whoa.
Oh, man. That's fucked up.
Huckabee's record on women's rights is also coming under scrutiny, including his endorsement of the Southern Baptist Convention's stance that women should submit graciously to their husbands and his opposition to sending women into combat.
Oh, maybe. That sounds good.
Yeah.
Might be worth voting for now.
This guy's he's gaining in the polls.
Yeah.
Can you believe that? He's gaining in the polls.
That's fucked up.
That is. What's up with that? Let's see, what else do I got here? What else do I got? Oh, many congressional Republicans have complained lately that lawmakers aren't doing enough to tackle the policy issues that really matter. To help highlight his caucus's concerns, Representative Steve King from Iowa, a Republican, easily among the top five looniest members of the chamber, will bring Resolution 847 to the floor. And I think they brought that to the floor, didn't they, John?
Yeah.
It will put the House on record stating that Christmas and Christians are important. The measure will state that the House of Representatives recognizes the Christian faith as one of the great religions of the world, expresses continued support for Christians in the United States and worldwide, and among other things, acknowledges and supports the role played by Christians and Christianity in the founding of the United States and in the formation of the Western civilization.
Yeah, but you know, they did the same thing on Ramadan to recognize that the Muslims...
Why are they even wasting their time on this?
I know. Just a few months before, the U.S. Congress vote by 376-0 passed a similar resolution recognizing Ramadan and the Islamic faith, stating in part that it was one of the great religions of the world and conveys its respect to Muslims and rejects hatred, bigotry, and violence directed against Muslims.
So somebody has to write this up. Then they have to take time and vote on the thing. Then they have to count the votes, and then they have to do what? And for what?
Nothing. It's absolutely stupid. And here's something that came out, too. Experts from the Council for Secular Humanism noted with alarm the passage of the Resolution 847 in the House of Representatives, this unnecessary, unwarranted, and bigoted law under the misleading title Recognizing the Importance of Christmas and the Christian Faith passed the House with overwhelming bipartisan support. It effectively undermines the sort of religious tolerance necessary in these changing times. Just days ago, in the midst of the Jewish Festival of Lights, four Jewish men in New York City were attacked on the subway for replying to a group of 10 people who wished them a Merry Christmas with a similar greeting, Happy Hanukkah. For this, these men were first insulted, then beaten. It was a Muslim man who came to their physical defense. The actions of the Congress by passing the resolution and thus expressing preference to the Christian faith over all others represented by the diverse population of these United States encourages this sort of behavior.
Okay. Doesn't make any sense to me. Does that make sense to you? I don't get it.
What?
What you just said. I don't get it.
Well, basically, they're saying that in recognizing and making and saying that this is such an important religion,
then that incident that occurred won't happen
anymore.
Well,
no, but it is a stretch that they're tying the two together. But I think in essence, they're saying, okay, if we start leading this path where we say, okay, Christianity is an important religion. Now let's bring it into the schools. Let's have prayer in school because we already have the moment of silence. Let's get rid of evolution and bring creationism. Let's make the religion a state religion, just like they do in the Muslim world, like we talked about with the woman who was a victim of rape and she was going to get 200 lashes because their whole constitution is based on Islamic law, which comes right out of the Quran. So how much longer before we say, okay, we're just all Christian and everybody else is a bunch of idiots. And that gives us the right to beat the crap out of them because they don't believe in Christmas.
I don't know. It's a bunch of shit. It's a goddamn waste of time. And you know, they talk about this last statement here that Christianity... the founding of the United States and in the formation of the Western civilization, the role that it played. Science and technology dominates the last 100 years specifically, but the Western civilization in the United States, if we had religion and we stuck to religious dogma, we wouldn't have gone to the moon. We wouldn't be watching goddamn TV. None of that shit would be going on. We would be going to church every goddamn day and praying.
Do you have to say goddamn?
Yeah, I do. So why don't we recognize science and technology, huh? Why don't we recognize that on the Congress floor and how important that is?
Because there's a war on Christmas, Scott.
And the exchange of ideas. Why don't we recognize that?
Because there's a war on Christmas. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a bunch of shit.
It's a bunch of shit. And, you know, you hear Rush Limbaugh talk about how he got in this discussion with some secularists and he convinced them that they were wrong and he was right that this country was founded on Christian principles and all this stuff. And he points to the Declaration of Independence as his only evidence. But not once does it mention God in the Constitution. You would think that if Christianity was so damn important, why isn't it part of the Constitution?
I don't know.
Why isn't it part of the laws of the land, the Bill of Rights?
Well, it is. They specifically stated that we have the right to pursue any religious belief we want or no belief at all.
Right. But it doesn't say that the state is going to recognize one specific religion and that's how we're going to live our lives based on that. And John Adams, one of our presidents, along with George Washington, signed the Treaty of Tripoli. That the very opening line says pretty much that the opening line says that in no way is the United States of America founded on as a Christian nation. And that was because he was writing this to the Muslims so that they knew that you don't have to worry about us. We're not going to wage war based on religion. If we're going to bomb the shit out of you, it's going to be for something else like oil. It ain't going to be because we believe in Jesus Christ over Allah.
Allah. Allah Akbar.
I'm a Dinajad.
Also, I don't know if you heard this, negative news coverage may have cost former attorney Alberto Gonzalez his job, but it won him a dubious honor Wednesday from a magazine published by the American Bar Association, Lawyer of the Year. Additionally, the ABA Journal named Gonzalez's successor, Attorney General Michael McCaskey, as the top lawyer for 2008, mostly in anticipation of how often he'll be in the media spotlight for trying to repair the beleaguered Justice Department. The monthly magazine gives the awards to lawyers who made the most news, said the editor. And get this. So a lot of people were like, what? Gonzalez, Lawyer of the Year. Are you kidding me? He says, think about it. Time Magazine's Person of the Year, Adams said in an interview. In years past, they've named people like Adolf Hitler and Joseph Stalin. So we're not suggesting by these awards that these are the best lawyers in any sense of the word. Right. What we're saying is they are the most newsworthy.
Right. Newsworthy.
And perhaps.
But they changed it, didn't they?
Also the best.
They changed it to Newsmaker of the Year.
They got so much shit for that. They changed it from Lawyer of the Year to Newsmaker of the Year.
News.
Who happens to be a lawyer. And a bad one at that.
_ happens to be a lawyer.
Right. What else do I got? CIA destroys tapes of interrogations. What else? Biden, I don't trust the Justice Department to investigate itself over destroyed CIA interrogation tapes. So the administration, they're deleting emails. They're destroying tapes. Get this, federal spending on paper shredding has increased more than 600% since the W took office.
Whoa.
They're shredding more paper than ever.
Wow.
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. This guy's driving this country. He keeps driving it in the ground. Nobody's doing a goddamn thing. You think somebody would impeach?
Right.
Somebody. Call for impeachment.
Somebody.
Somebody. Get rid of Cheney first, then get rid of the W.
The Cheney.
That's right. Let me get the door. Hold on. Why don't you mute Dan's mic and have him get the door?
I'll get the door.
Have him go get the door?
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, there he goes.
Hurry up already. Jesus.
So, while we're waiting for them to get back, it looks like the Bears lost another one.
Did they? Oh, yeah.
You were telling me about Kyle Orton's arm and how great it is. That was the worst long pass I've ever seen. Hey, Phil, what's
happening?
What do
you mean? Just because he threw it to the other guy?
Yeah.
Actually, it's a good pass for the Vikings.
Yeah, for the Vikings. Not for him.
All right, is Phil's ready? Or?
Yes, of course I'm always ready, John. It's good to see you again, cousin Dad. You're looking well.
Thank you very much.
How's your nuts?
Oh, much better. Much better.
Oh, yeah, John called me and told me that story. That was a good one. I wish I could say a similar thing happened to me, but I can't.
Probably for the best. I wouldn't wish for that. Who wants to wish for bloody balls?
Bloody balls.
All right, John, whenever you're ready.
All right.
Now, with your award-winning TTN News, Phil McCracken Whitcomb.
Thank you, John. They're for starting late. A chimp be train college students at a number memory game. The game, you get a quick glance at the numbers spread around the screen. The numbers turn into white boxes, and you have to click them in order of the now hidden numbers. Results. At the beginner level, chimps matched humans at accuracy and beat them at speed. At the most difficult level, the sole chimp competitor smoked the humans, getting 80% right versus 40% right. In related news, a chimp has also served as the President of the United States of America for the past 7 years. Next story, John. What happened to my bumper?
I can't find it.
Oh.
I had some technical difficulties earlier this week.
Understandable.
I renamed some folders, and now my sound effects board can't find them.
Well, I guess it won't be the award-winning Phil the Kraken News Report anymore.
What do you mean? What's wrong with
Baba? Men mysteriously volunteered to do last-minute Christmas shopping in Boulder, Colorado. Men mysteriously volunteer at the Pearl Street Mall. In related news, the Pearl Street Mall has a strip club in the basement. Next story, John.
Baba!
I'm sorry, I take that back. Here's the detail. The Nitro Club has been open for at least a week, but is rarely seen by Holiday and other shoppers because it is off the beaten path. Some Boulder City Council members say a strip club has no place on the Pearl Street Mall. Mayor Schwan McGrath of City Council didn't even know of it because the club never applied for a liquor license and because its entrance is in a back alley. Boulder doesn't have an ordinance regulating sexually orientated businesses, but McGrath thinks the policy should be looked at more closely. We need to have a conversation about it, McGrath said. If we want these kinds of businesses, then where is an appropriate place for them? The Rocky Mountain News said the club's owner refused to give his name, but said the reception so far has been entirely positive. Next story, John. World oldest person dies at 116. Says that never having married a nagging wife has kept him alive for so long. Next story, John. Assistant principal jailed after running with scissors. Assistant principal jailed after running with scissors into her boyfriend's face.
Oh!
An assistant principal of the Brooklyn Public School slashed her live-in boyfriend with scissors during a fight early Thursday, yet got them both arrested. Cops charged Daniela Capuno, 33, with assault and criminal possession of a weapon after she allegedly cut her beau, Alejardo Ruiz, at the East Elmer Queens home. Ruiz, 32, faces a misdemeanor, domestic assault, charged for hitting Caputo in the head. Both were arraigned, released from custody, and told by a judge to stay clear of each other. Next story, John.
You are a meathead.
Thou shall not run a red light. Have road rage say Hail Marys. In June, the Vatican issued a list of 10 commandments for drivers as part of a 36-page document titled Guidelines for the Pastoral Care of the Road. According to the document, driving brings out the primitive side of man, and cars can be an occasion of sin. The guidelines call for such things as respecting speed limits and not using cell phones behind the wheel, but en route praying is encouraged, the document says, because the rhythm and gentle repetition of the rosary does not distract the driver's attention.
Who said that? The Pope?
The Vatican.
George the guy?
Next story, John. First grade teacher of the year candidate comes to school drunk, vomits, abandons children on field trip, and passes out on the school bus.
Wow.
Teaches kids a valuable lesson. Don't drink and become a teacher. Rather, become a cheerleader, snort coke, go AWOL from the National Guard, and run your daddy's businesses into the ground. And one day, you too can be president. In related news, a man said Wednesday, too much beer and whiskey caused him to mistakenly climb through the window of his next-door neighbor, who shot him in the ass.
Oh!
In the interview at Lafayette County Jail, Joshua Harrison expressed remorse on Thursday night, the Wednesday night incident, Middle-aged Madison Station neighborhood. In related news, a fire chief in Penobscot
County has been charged with being drunk behind the wheel while driving a fire truck with its lights on sirens going. Russell Banks of Burlington was arrested around midnight Saturday after a resident complained that Banks was racing a fire tanker by his home, even though there was no fire. The 34-year-old Banks is chief of the Triangle Fire Department and volunteer association that provides service for Burlington, Lowell, and Grand Falls Township. In related news, a drunken man urinating through a fence got a nasty surprise. Can Vesna took a break from drinking wine at a street stall to relieve himself through a hole in a fence. However, a puppy spotted Mr. Vesna's appendage as it poked through the apparently thinking it was a toy and latched on.
Whoa.
Suffering lacerations, Mr. Vesna fronted up to the hospital in Phnom Penh for treatment and was forced to tell the embarrassing story of his injuries.
I have audio of that, by the way.
Yes.
I do.
Of course. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Next story, John. You better not pout and you better not cry. You better not throw eggs and beer bottles at Santa. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus had beer bottles and eggs thrown at him when he was touring Shuburn in Emlet. The Emlet Lions Club is now considering stopping its nightly visits that brings Santa to the village, a tradition that raised money for numerous good causes and delighted thousands of children over the past 13 years. The fundraising group has taken its sleigh around other neighborhood villages with no trouble over the past couple of weeks, but three recent visits to Shelburne and Elmet have been marred by eggs and beer bottles being hurled at Santa Claus. Paul Smith, a spokesman for the club, said, "The trauma that must be felt by young children when they see Santa being pelted with eggs cannot be described. If this sort of behavior carries on, we will have to consider dropping Shelburne and Emmett from our run." Next story, John. This next story is a PSA. If you and your spouse's names are Mary and Joseph, you can get a free night's stay at any Travelodge in the UK on Christmas Eve, according to spokesman Shakila Hamad.
That's
cute. Next story,
that's
John.
That's cute.
Next and last story. Pastor takes leave of absence to deal with his online porn addiction. The pastor of a leading New Tampa church is stepping down. Or is that going down? Because of his addiction to online pornography. The Reverend Brian James, pastor of St. James United Methodist Church, is taking an indefinite voluntary leave of absence, said Irk Elsgard, director of communications for the Florida Annual Conference of the United Methodist Church. Elsgard said the church had no evidence that James had broken the law. Legalities aside, viewing pornography as we know is unacceptable, Elsgard said. We expect our clergy to uphold the highest the moral
Dracula
and ethical standards, he said. Online adult pornography does not follow those moral and ethical standards.
I'm going to bite your neck.
James, 45, is married with four children. He has been a pastor of the 1,400-member church for 7 years. He said, "Let he who has not sinned throw the first stone." And that is the news, John.
Wow.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you,
Dan.
All right, thanks.
All right, then, I'll be going.
I gotta go scratch my nuts.
That's great. Yay.
Wait a minute, they're bleeding. Bye.
Wow, always very topical.
Wow. Yeah.
Phil the Kraken.
Whitcomb. Yeah. All right, well, I guess that's all the time we have.
Number 113, John.
That's right.
And we're going to try to get another episode in before Christmas.
Yeah.
And I haven't spoken to God, but I think he may visit us.
Oh, that'd be great.
Before Christmas on our show.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
He's been on our show before.
I've heard about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Satan.
Yeah. God.
God. Satan.
Yeah.
Alfie.
Cousin Dan.
Cousin Dan.
Special Ed.
Special Ed. to thank all our guests for coming.
Zach.
Sack.
That made this such a wonderful year, John.
Yeah.
Marty and Phil.
We're going to have to reflect.
Reflect. Yeah.
Oh, we know what we also need to do is a top 10 list.
Didn't do one this year.
We've done the top 10 Christmas songs. We've done the top 10 Christmas movies.
Yeah.
Is there any other Christmas themed list we can prepare?
Christmas massages, top 10.
Top 10 Christmas
massages.
Massages.
Where you would like to be massaged.
Top 10 dead Christmas characters we would consider having
our tip put in.
Right.
Yeah. I like that.
That could be a good list. And under what circumstances?
Yeah.
You know, how quickly they had just died.
Right.
Being Christmas, I would assume it'd be right afterwards or else it'd really get cold.
Yeah.
Fast.
It's like, what would one necrophiliac say to the other as they were passing the funeral home?
Want
to
stop in for a cold one?
Right.
Right.
All right, that's all the time we have this week. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And thanks, Cousin Dan.
Cousin Dan.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
All right, we'll be back shortly.
1:14.
Right.
Later.
You're listening to John and Scott on Total Talk Nonsense.